Well, where else on Christian radio are you going to hear hymns studied? A Good Friday program, for that matter. Maybe a little bit here and there, a Good Friday program. But a study of a hymn like this that focuses our mind on what Good Friday is really all about. What it is we remember, what it is we receive through God's Word. Not only on Good Friday, but always throughout our lives, flowing from the cross of Jesus Christ. It's one of the things that's unique about Issues, Etc. It's one of the unique things that you support when you support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by becoming a member of our Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. It's our monthly donor program. We are close to our goal of 125 members by this coming Sunday, Easter Sunday. To join the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club, you can either go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll see a picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Just click on that, and it'll get you where you're going. You can also donate by credit card. Call our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or join by check. Write us at Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Now, we have that goal of 125 members. We have a couple days here. I ask you to seriously consider joining the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club and supporting the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused, all year round. Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. We're studying the Lenten hymn, The Lamb. Here is the third stanza. The Lamb, as wayward sheep their shepherd kill, so still his will on our behalf the law to fill. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne. That last the third stanza of The Lamb, this hymn we're studying with Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor, the theme here seems to be our disobedience and Christ's obedience.
Yes. Notice, if I can just back up in the stanza, before he does that, he does a little flip-flop with, you know, we've had the theme of the Lamb. All of a sudden, he shifted the image. As wayward sheep their shepherd kill. All of a sudden, we're the lambs, and we're lambs who are doing something absolutely outrageous. Who ever heard of lambs killing their shepherd? It's the other way around. Shepherds live to kill their lambs, right? You know, that they live from their flock. But here Jesus reverses it, and that calls to mind the way Jesus spoke in John chapter 10, where he said that I am the good shepherd, and then he defines what he means by good. You remember you asked at the beginning of the show about good. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. His laying down of his life is indeed an act of obedience. And you mentioned our disobedience, his obedience. One can't help but think of Romans 5 and verse 19. For by the one man's disobedience, that is Adam's, the many, that is the multitude of us, were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, that is the Christ's, the many will be made righteous. We see the Lord Jesus on the cross is there as the obedient one, the one who has a twofold obedience, an active and a passive obedience. Active, and he perfectly fulfills the demands of the law of God, and he does that for each and every one of us. And secondly, passively, he suffers the judgment and wrath of God upon the sin of all humanity. He takes it himself. That's his great obedience to the Father. When he said, Lo, I have come to do your will, this was what the will of the Father was, that he should live the perfect life, and that he, by his suffering and death, should atone the sins of the world.
Now, the comfort to the Christian they might think of the obedience of Jesus as a theological distinction that's important to make because all the accounts have got to be balanced with God. But what is the comfort for the Christian who benefits from Christ's obedience, who in fact, the scripture says, has Christ's obedience imputed to him?
The unspeakable comfort which belongs to every Christian as they look at the cross is to recognize this is a perfect sacrifice. And the perfection of the sacrifice the Father attests when he raises his Son from the dead. We think of Romans 4 verse 25, that Christ was put to death for our sins, and he was raised for our justification. His being raised from the dead is the Father saying, this sacrifice counts. It counts for every last human being. It is a perfect, whole, unbroken yes to the Father, which is credited to us. It is the holiness that will enable us to stand before God without condemnation on the day of judgment.
Here is the fourth stanza of the Lamb. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, here on Issues, etc. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness, he lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on the throne.
Takes my sin and wretchedness, he lives, forgives, he gives me his own righteousness, worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me
stanza four of the Lamb. Pastor Whedon, this here, Pastor Coleman gets his sentences or his statements down to two words, the bare minimum, but he says more in those brief sentences than many hymns say in a dozen stanzas. What does he say?
Now, this is the great stanza in the hymn in my book. He sighs, he dies, he takes my sin and wretchedness. That immediately calls to mind Isaiah 53, where we are told about one who is led like a lamb to the slaughter, and it says of him, beginning at verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And these are the big words. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Dr. Luther said, your sins can't be two places at once. Your sins are either where God put them, or they're where you've taken them away. So if you leave your sins where God has put them, you leave them on the Lamb, on Christ, upon the cross. And then they have no power over you, because he is there answering for them fully. He takes my sin and wretchedness. I am reminded also of the beautiful passage in 2 Corinthians 5, where Paul said, he made him, he, the Father, made him, the Son, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's where the stanza ends up. He gives me his own righteousness. We think about how Paul would rejoice in that in Philippians 3. Do you remember, you know, Paul the Pharisee, the one who had worked so hard to have a righteousness of his own. He learned to look at everything he did and said, it's all garbage. Listen to what he wrote. He said, whatever gain I had, beginning of verse 7, Philippians 3, 7, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, that is from my keeping of the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. This is what Pastor Coleman is holding up for us in this stanza to rejoice in. Not only has he taken our sin, but he has also provided us the clothing, the garment of his righteousness. What a gift.
This is where it was clinched for me, and I don't remember when it was, but it seems to me I lived a long time as a Christian, always with the niggling doubt that the certainty of my forgiveness, the forgiveness of my sins, not just some sort of general forgiveness of sins, but the forgiveness of my sins, I lived with the niggling doubt that that somehow, in some way, to some degree, depended upon me. And to be honest with you, Pastor, I felt like, throughout all those years, that I was living on probation. It kind of as though, well, the certainty of this thing, it lies in you to some degree. And it felt like probation to me, to tell you the truth. And that's exactly what it was, considering what I was believing. And this is where it's clinched for me. Someone said, a fellow pastor said, that your forgiveness is as certain as Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. That's as certain as it gets. And it depends on absolutely nothing else. And that's what I hear in this fourth stanza. That kind of confidence that says it doesn't depend on us in any sense whatsoever, all eyes on Jesus, and if you doubt your forgiveness, then you need look only to the certainty of what Jesus accomplished. If it happened, it happened for you, and it's yours.
Yes, yes. That's a beautiful way of putting it. The sacrifice on the cross really did take care of the entire world and its sins. And that means that there's not a single person listening to us today whose sins Jesus didn't bear entirely upon his cross. There's not a single person listening to us today whose sins that cross did not forgive. And God the Father, we said earlier, he showed that sacrifice counts. You know, one of the images that is really important in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus is the high priest. And the Jews would send the high priest once a year on the Day of Atonement with the blood of these animals into the most holy place, and a rope around his foot, and he would pour out the blood there on the mercy seat, the throne of God, and the people would know when the high priest appeared again that their sins had been atoned for that year, that they'd been covered over by that blood, that God himself had forgiven them. They knew that when they saw the high priest come back out of the veil. So it is with our Lord. He takes his body and his blood into the Holy of Holies in heaven and pours them out, presents them there to the Father, and we know that the sacrifice is accepted because we see that the priest, the high priest, is alive again. His resurrection is to us the absolution of God upon an entire world. As I said, there's not a single listener for whom that is not true.
And that leads us to the fifth and final stanza of this hymn, The Lamb. He rose, my heart with thanks now overflows. His song prolonged till every heart to him belong. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The Lamb is reigning on his throne.
Till every heart's tuned.
Pastor Whedon, before we talk about the details of that final stanza, I've always wondered, and I wonder what you think, that last line, we've only got about a minute here, that last line, the Lamb is reigning on his throne, is this a reference to Christ sitting at God's right hand, or is it a reference to Christ hanging dead on the cross, crowned with thorns?
Yes. Yes. We see the cross as his throne, and because we see the cross as his throne, we also know he is indeed throned at the right hand of his Father. Both.
You have about 30 seconds here. You've been pushing this direction the entire study, that the resurrection seals the sacrifice of Christ for the certainty of our forgiveness. Your final thoughts with 30 seconds.
And this is what the church is called upon to do in her mission. She calls all people to join her in the worship of this one who has answered for the sin of all, risen again to destroy the death of all, and who now reigns as king and who lives in her midst, eucharistically, in the body and blood that he gives to his people. We call all people to leave their idolatry and come and join us in singing, "Worthy is the Lamb."
Let's hear the entire hymn that we've studied this hour with Pastor Will Whedon, "The Lamb."
Oh,
The hymn is The Lamb. Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. Pastor Wheaton, two quick and final questions. Someone says, look, I know the Good Friday is the whole tradition, but you guys focus too much on the cross and the crucifixion and not enough on the resurrection. On this Good Friday, how do you respond?
Oh, my. It's impossible to focus too much on the cross. It would be wrong if we heard the cross in isolation from the rest of the story, and we certainly don't intend to do that. He was born to die upon the cross, and he died upon the cross that he might be raised again in glory. But the great good news of Easter, as the angel says to the women in the tomb, is that the crucified one has been raised. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. The cross is very much the heart and the center and the core of our faith, because it is where Christ atoned the sin of the world. It's where the Lamb took away the sin of the world. It's at the heart and center. You can't focus on it too much.
And then with just a minute here, even less, someone has been listening. They say, look, all Lent makes me think is my sins are too big. You don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't even want to have anything to do with me. Maybe I go to church on Christmas and Easter, maybe not even Easter this time. Why go to church on this Good Friday? Why go to God's house on this Easter weekend?
That you might learn that your Savior is ever so much bigger than your sins. Did I not hear Dr. Nagel say on your show a week or so ago that spiritual pride, to be able to think that my sins are bigger than my Savior? Let us never, ever think this. We go to church that the Savior might meet us with the gift of his body and blood, with the proclamation of his gospel, with the gift of forgiveness, which is ever so much bigger than the sins of the whole world, let alone the sins of an individual person.
Pastor Will Wheaton is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. As usual, Pastor, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
We've studied this hymn on this Good Friday, and I encourage you, even if you think your sins are small, or if you think they're big, well, there is a cure for both of those kinds of spiritual pride in Good Friday. And that cure is found in the diagnosis of our sin. And that diagnosis is not imputed to us, but to Jesus. All of our pride, all of our sinful pride, all of our sins laid upon him as the Lamb, the sacrifice that ends all sacrifice, that silences the voice of the law and its accusations, and in genuinely pleases God on our behalf. When we come back, we'll study the Passion of the Christ film with Pastor Richard Stuckwish. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.